currently at the pay-per-click model. So that means that you have an ad, whether it's a YouTube ad, search ad, display ad, you pay per every click that you get. So usually it might start off at like $5 to $10, you know, $7 a click. But once you optimize it, it's like $3 a click, $2 a click, you know, especially if you have like auto bidding enabled and all this, you know, Google magic going on here. These local service ads, however, it's not pay-per-click, it's pay-per-lead. So what's happening is if a customer or a viewer on Google calls that phone number or fills out that form or something like that, they're going to say, hey, you have a lead now because of us, and that's going to cost you $200.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a very special guest. I know we're having a lot of guests, Carson. Isn't this fantastic?
I know. We finally got our studio set up and we figured out how to handle guests. We have a new mixer, so that's not screwing things up for us like it was.
Oh, yeah. That mixer, literally on Christmas, my Christmas party, because I hated that mixer so much. We should release that video. At least clips of it. Yeah. Carson brought me a hammer with a
sledgehammer
with a bow on it. And that was one of my Christmas gifts from him. And then he handed me the L8 rack. Mixer.
Yep, I took him outside and said, come on, let's go outside with that sledgehammer.
And I destroyed it. It was like the most satisfying destroying.
I don't think I've seen real joy on Brandon's face since or before that or since then.
made me think I need to go to a rage room or something. So,
oh, you would love one of those.
Exactly. Well, with that being said, we have a fantastic guest today, all thanks to our new Rode. As we noticed, we had one last week as well. So Carson, you want to give the intro?
Yeah, of course. So today with us, we have Tim Jedrick. He's the founder of Right Rudder Marketing, which is a digital marketing agency specializing in helping flight schools grow and really dominating their local areas, which I think is really great. And with the background in computer science, business leadership, and of course, aviation, Tim brings a pretty unique blend of expertise to his work. And Right Rudder Marketing focuses exclusively on flight schools, which provides just a really tailored solution. You only work with flight schools, which is, you know, the best thing that there is. And the agency's mission is to really train more pilots. And you've helped so far, I think, 100 flight schools double their student body.
That's our mission. So our goal is 100. We're crawling towards there. We're a little under 20 right now. So we're quarter of the way there, fifth of the way there. Yeah. So we're getting there, though.
Yeah, I worked at a flight school. I know how flight schools run, and I know that marketing is probably one of the biggest flaws I've seen in flight schools. It's really hard to get things out there, and you know, I brought this up a few times. Growing up, I didn't know that we had any other airports near us besides LAX and San Diego and John Wayne. I thought that was it. I thought that was all the airports. So finding out there was more and then finding flight schools, it's usually a hunt for a lot of people. So I think what you're doing is really a great thing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a great journey, and you know, we always love working with flight schools. And one of the reasons I got into the whole thing is when I was looking at becoming a pilot, this was about 5 years ago before COVID and all that stuff, I literally went on Google. That's what everyone else does. If you've never had any experience in the aviation industry, you're just going to go on Google and say, how do you become a pilot, or, you know, pilot school near me. And so I did that. Most of the schools in the area did pop up. And I looked at their website, looked at their social media. Most of them hadn't been updated in years. And it kind of led me distraught. And I was like, well, and I still didn't understand how to become a pilot. Like, you know, I understood, like, hey, there's a business here. And you try calling them or filling out a form. But it really wasn't until, you know, after my discovery flight, after I did a lot of more research, you know, listening to podcasts, listening to YouTube, going to YouTube and doing my own research, that I understood, like, hey, you got to get your private, you know, pilot certificate, then instrument, then commercial, then your CFI, then multi, whatever it is. There's a whole, then the 1500 hour rule if you want to go in the airlines. I didn't know all that stuff going in. Without researching it. So my thing was, like, all these schools say that, hey, here's our planes and here's our CFIs and, you know, here's a POH or whatever. But they didn't really tell me, as like a newcomer, how to actually become a pilot, what to expect in the market. because of that gap, I'm like, hey, this is a really big opportunity here to work with schools, because I think that there's a lot. Like, I can't be the only one that was in, like, wondering like how to become a pilot. I can't be the only one in America or the world wondering it. And there has to be more resources online for that. So that's one of the reasons why we started Redwater Marketing. But as I go on further talking about, you know, my experience and kind of how I got here, I'm sure we can kind of delve into that. But yeah, quick intro. You know, I am the founder of Redwater Marketing, and we are the marketing agency for flight schools. We help flight schools all across the world, mostly in America these days. But we've seen really great impact with our schools that work with us, that partner with us, and it's life changing. You know, when you're in the top three of Google, you're in the top three of the search results. You're getting all the traffic. You're getting all the interested pilots to go there. If you're on the third page or you're ranking number 15, you're just not going to see it. You can have the best planes, you can have the best instructors, you can have the best curriculum, but if you're not up on top and visible, no one's going to call you and ring the phone. So that's one of the reasons why we got into business.
Very cool. I know that I talked with you about a week ago or so, and I told you the challenges I had with marketing. And once I kind of dialed that in years before your company was even started, I dialed it in a different way using Google. And I used a marketing company as well that specialized in flight school marketing. He's no longer around, and you probably put him out of business, which is probably fantastic for you. But yeah, so I remember going through that as a flight school owner and it being so incredibly difficult. But I also can remember back to when I was a student pilot and prior to being a student pilot. And I remembered that I forgot, nowadays I forgot at least, how hard it was to figure out how to become a pilot. I thought the only way to do it was going to the military. And obviously that was not correct. there is almost 2,000 flight schools in the United States, depending on how big or small they are, according to our list at least. And it's hard to figure that out. I mean, so many people still think that, but,
aviation seems like that hidden gem for a lot of people. Like, you know, you see pilots in the airport and you're like, wow, you know, look at them. Like, I wonder how they got there. And, you know, a lot of people are too afraid to go up and talk to anybody. That's part of it. But, you know, there's not a lot out there on how to become a pilot. Like you said, for a lot of people, it's just knowing someone and that's the intro.
Exactly. And I'm going to steal your thunder on this one, Carson. What got you into aviation, Tim?
It's a good question. I always was interested in becoming a pilot when I was growing up, to be honest with you. Like, I'd see the fighter jets go around, and I was actually trying to be a fighter pilot, to be honest with you, when I first looked into it. I was going to join the military and all that stuff. But then as I read more, I was like, well, if you're, let's say, a fighter pilot, that's not so much flying. It's actually serving your country. It's actually the service and like what you do if you do the military. You're actually doing more admin work, especially as a lieutenant or something like that, or an officer. You're going to be doing more admin work. You'd be leading a team. It's more service than it is flying. And for me, I wanted to fly. I love my country to death, but at the same time, I wasn't sure if serving was the right, you know, for me. So that kind of knocked it out the water. And then at the time, you know, to be an airline pilot, you know, salaries and pilot pay was not what it was, like what it is now. Like back then, you know, you'd have these, you'd invest nearly $100,000, roughly the same price, $100,000 in training. And then you'd go to regional airlines, and then you'd make like, what's that, 30, 40K a year, and then it'd take forever to pay your debt off. Obviously, you know, over time, you know, if you have enough hours and you build seniority in a certain, you know, line or certain airlines, you can, of course, get a very nice, you know, paycheck. You can, you know, I've seen salaries $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. It's not unheard of. But it takes forever to get there. And for me, I was actually working in manufacturing before all this. So I was actually in food manufacturing, worked for companies like Tyson, ConAgra Foods, things like that. And I was getting paid pretty well. And not saying that I wasn't rich, and I'm like super rich, and you know, I have a mansion in the hills, whatever. But I was getting paid really a pretty penny, to be honest with you, being a department head and all that stuff. And it just wasn't worth getting in, you know, to aviation. So, you know, it was that kind of bug in the back of my head. Like, I wanted to join, but the return on investment really wasn't there for me at the time. You know, it just wasn't there. And, but I've always thought about it and always liked it. And it's always, you know, I've always looked at it and it's always been something, you know, in there, you know, in my mind, like, hey, we should learn how to be a pilot. We should do this, you know, one day. And, I'm actually pretty fortunate that my father, this is on the marketing front. He saw a Groupon on like a Google ad for a flight, for a Discovery flight. Like, what do you call it? He called like it was Discovery flight or Intro flight. It was like $50 or $100 at the time. I think now they're at 200, but you know, back then it was like $50 to $100. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give it to you for your birthday. And he bought me this thing, and I'm like, I guess I can do it. You know, why the hell not? You know, and it's really funny because that Discovery flight was at an airport in like the same year that we scheduled this flight. There was a lot of flooding, so it's actually been delayed. It was delayed like a couple months, like 6 months actually, because the flooding was really bad. They had to move all the planes to another airport. But it kind of scratched that, you know, itch that I had. I'm like, okay, it's scheduled, and now we got to wait 6 months to do this. I'm like, I can't wait this long. And that's kind of what spurred me to, you know, research flight schools, how to become a pilot. And then I just called other schools in the area. And without his knowledge, I actually got a Discovery flight at a different school. And then I started training. You know, by the time I actually did the Discovery flight that was scheduled by my father, I'd already learned how to, like, I hadn't soloed it yet, but, you know, I knew how to taxi, I knew how to turn, I knew how to, like, take off and all stuff. And then CFI that was with us was like, you've had training before a little bit, haven't you? I'm like, yeah, a little bit. And really after, you know, take a step back here, after my first Discovery flight, there's really, it's 50-50, right? So when I talk to flight schools, you do a Discovery flight with somebody and there's really two results, right? It's usually, oh my God, this is amazing. Or, oh my God, like I don't want to do this at all. You know, to get like the fear, like I hate the loud engine and the rocky plane and everything. But I was in the former group. I was in the, holy crap, this is amazing. let's do this more. I want to learn more. Yeah. And that's kind of what started, you know, started the whole aviation thing. And then, just kept flying, getting certificates and ratings. And, here we are today. So that's how I started. And
how many certificate ratings do you have?
So right now it's the private pilot and then instrument. So that's what we have right now. And then I qualify for the commercial, but I still got to do my written and check ride. But technically all the minimum requirements for cross countries and all stuff is already finished. So I was like, okay.
Speaking of written, guess what I did this morning?
What did you do?
Your written exam?
I didn't do a written, but I ordered Shepherd Air. So I can get my ATP written done.
What?
By the way, this will be the third time that I've paid for Shepherd Air for my ATP written. And I think third time's the charm because I don't use it for the 6 months.
Something's got to give.
But I literally calendared in my schedule study time for Shepherd Air. And I am not going to miss it this time. I'm like sick and tired of not having my ATP. I just feel like I should have had it 3 years ago or 4 years ago. And I don't have it. And I feel like I'm a fraud by not having my ATP.
I feel like you are too.
Oh, thanks. So with the written test, I got to go do it too. So yeah, we can be, can't really be study buddies on this one, but it's a hard one.
I'll study with you. I don't know. So
it has to be the hardest, most, I mean, I'm not going to use it to go to the airline. So it's really like pointless for me.
It's for fun.
It's for fun. But ATP means airline transport pilot. So I guess I have to know all the airline stuff. I already took like a $5,000 or $6,000 class in Dallas just to be able to get the privilege to take this test, ATP, CTP course.
Didn't you do the simulator training too?
Yeah, it comes with 10 hours of sim training. So I've got some
that's
CRJ
a good price
time.
For the 5 or 6 grand.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. I mean, it's not a good price, but it's not terrible.
I mean, having the sim included is.
Yeah, you know, exactly. So. Yeah, you know, I kind of feel in the same boat. I just need to go get that test done. And
yeah, just get the test done, get it knock it out of the way, and go for it. But it's, you know, I think maybe I mirror Brandon with this, but as business owners, we're just really busy. I don't want to make excuses, but we're really busy. I hate to say it like that, but you know, dedicating time to study, whether it's for, you know, a written exam for aviation or even for other stuff too, it's like. I'm on call like nonstop, so it's I'm getting pulled from all directions, from my team, from customers, and but I think it's, you know, for the benefit of you know, Rider Marketing and myself, I should continue to keep training. And like, I think there's this really cliche, I don't know who said it, I think it's like Jason Shepherd or something like that. He's like, you know, a good pilot's always learning. It's like it's like, okay, yeah, it's true though. You know, we do got to keep learning.
Yeah, you're true. Never gonna be an expert.
Yeah, the way that I've kind of figured this out is time blocking. I literally time block on my schedule like massively. And I actually just asked Kathleen's my wonderful assistant, to time block me time to do things that I feel like I'm missing in my life. So I actually have time blocked daily, 30 minutes to call friends and family. Because literally my calendar gets booked up from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. almost daily. And at 7 p.m., if I want to call friends on the East Coast, too late. 7 a.m. It's really too, or earlier than 7 a.m. I'm not really awake yet. So literally my entire day is just spent not being able to do anything. And as a business owner that has, I think we're at 104 employees at Stratus, it's very difficult just to, I don't know, make time for me. So I finally decided I've got 15 minutes here, 30 minutes here, calendar it out. These can be moved around throughout the day, but it's but it has to be done. And the same thing with my written, the same thing with my WSET level 3 wine, same thing with the gym. Literally, I have calendared for the past 3 weeks for me to go to the gym this afternoon. That's and I'm cool. not going to miss it.
That's really cool.
Otherwise, I have to pay $150 to my trainer for no reason, and I'm not doing that.
Yeah, you don't pay for things you don't get.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's hit on a topic which are which kind of interesting to me. It's kind of trends and innovation in marketing. Carson, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that you know every year the trends are changing. That's why it's called a trend. And I think that there's a lot of different things. I mean, in my opinion, I think the rise of AI in the last few years has been a massive trend. But yeah, you second that one? Yeah, I thought so.
Big time.
But are there any you know other emerging trends or trends that you're seeing lately in aviation, especially aviation marketing, that business owners should be aware of?
You know, I think the AI is probably the biggest one out there, to be honest with you. Like the usage of AI is you think about marketing, right? Like it's saving time, it's saving costs, to be honest with you. Like how we use AI and how we are able to get more content out. Even like podcasts, for example. So, for example, you know, you think about video editing back in the day, you know, you'd have to pay someone, you know, I don't know, thousands of dollars to take your video, cut it up. And then if you want these, you know, short clips, whatever, you know, that's another fee on top of that. You know, using software, even the software we're using today for the podcast, you're able to create these shorts and it's way more easier to edit. I mean, I remember back when I was in college, I was doing video editing just for fun, and it would take hours and hours to do it. And now you can get the same thing done in like 30 minutes. So for flight schools, it's a really good tool to use is using AI to create videos. You know, you can create, you know, do something similar, do like a ground school and then cut it up. One of the trends that hasn't really hit our industry, but it's hitting other industries with the AI stuff is actually AI like customer response robots. So like you'll call, let's say a phone number, and then instead of hearing a person, you'll hear a robot. But instead of like, hey, press 1 for this, press 2 for this, it's actually an interactive robot. So if you want to cancel an order, or you want to book a flight, or you want to do something, this robot supposedly would be able to handle that. So they've seen that, you know, take place in you know other industries like plumbing or roofing and things like that and fencing. It hasn't hit our market. And my hypothesis for this trend is it's going to hit the airlines first. So, you know, when the airlines, you know, use, you know, they want to, you know, I don't say lay off customer service workers, but they're going to try to replace some of the workers with AI to do customer service and then, you know, hopefully get more revenue and profit from that. And then if that works out, it might trickle down to the flight school market too. It's something there. Another trend that's really been happening for marketing is ads, right? So the most popular ad is a Google ad. That's, you know, typically the most warm type of lead you're going to get. So someone's actively searching for your service or product, and then you show them a Google ad, and here you are. So we're very fortunate that we're still kind of in this current, like the previous stage of Google ads, where it's mostly like, you know, they have display ads, YouTube ads, search ads, whatever it is. What Google is trying to promote is called a LSA ad. It's called a local service ad. And what it is that these type of ads, it's rather than, let's say I'm looking for, let's bring up the fencing example, for, you know, that I said earlier. I'm looking for someone to install fences near me. What it's going to show is instead of like your sponsored links and then the map pack and then organic listings, what it does is it shoots right to the top and say, hey, check out these providers. It's going to say, and it's Google, it has like a Google verified sticker that says, hey, this fencer is this cost, whatever. And then here's their number. That type of ad hasn't been made available for the flight school market yet, but it can happen maybe this year or next. Cause what's happening too, Google loves it, by the way, because they charge more for it. So I hope it doesn't hit our market, but it might. What they're doing is, normally, we're currently at the pay-per-click model. So that means that you have an ad, whether it's a YouTube ad, search ad, display ad, you pay per every click that you get. So usually, it might start off at like $5 to $10, you know, $7 a click. But once you optimize it, it's like $3 a click, $2 a click, you know, especially if you have like auto bidding enabled and all this, you know, Google magic going on here. These local service ads, however, it's not pay per click, it's pay per lead. So what's happening is if a customer or a viewer on Google calls that phone number or fills out that form or something like that, they're going to say, hey, you have a lead now because of us, and that cost, that's going to cost you $200. So it's going to wipe out pretty much all flight schools, not all flight schools, but a good percentage of flight schools once they implement that. Because first off, it's the priority. It's going to be the LSA ad, the local search ad, and then the sponsored ad, then the map pack, and then organic rankings. So when they implement this LSA stuff to us, it's going to blow a lot of schools out the water, because if the cost per lead is, let's say, $100, $200, most schools can only afford, you know, I struggle to get the schools to pay more than $1,000 a month. And I'm like, you need to pay $1,000 a month minimum to have an effective Google ad campaign. And if the clicks are going to be, or the leads are going to be $200 a lead, or $200 a lead, that's, you're only going to be able to run this campaign for like a week, and then that's it, unless you have a bigger budget. So, I mean, that's some of the trends that I see in the marketing arena, LSA ads and AI being implemented.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
You know, there is kind of this thing called, in like the programming and tech world, marketing world, like the AI wars. So I don't know if we think of like ChatGPT, that's like our Coca-Cola. Like it's the first one that came out and everyone knows what it is, but there's so many different variations. You have your Pepsi, your Sprite, your Dr. Pibb now. There's Claude and Perplexity as another one. And then recently Twitter came out with Grok 3. So we're kind of seeing which one's going to be the most dominant force out there, and which one's going to be used the most. I bring this up because ChatGPT, if I remember this right, they run their programs on Azure, or they have all their data centers using Azure, which is Microsoft. It's not Google, right? So what's happening is you'll get the ChatGPT feature if you use the Bing browser. So what's happening is now, instead of optimize, it's changing the market, because before we'd always, you know, we'd always try to respond to Google's beckoning cry. Whatever Google wants, it goes. If they want, you know, a schema here or headlines to be formatted this way, if they wanted their page to be coded a certain way, we just followed whatever Google says. Well, now Bing or Microsoft has a bigger plate on the table now and say, hey, I want it done this way. So not only are you optimizing your website and your social media for Google, you now have to kind of pivot more towards Bing now, even though it's still, you know, not the dominant force, like 10%, 15% of the market. But you want to make sure that your school, you know, if someone searches how to become a pilot, it shows up one on Google, and two, you know, if it's working on Google, it's going to work on SEO or working on AI as well. It's going to show up on Bing now. So those are the trends. So AI, customer service AI, Bing, and then also local service ads, as far as the marketing industry is concerned. Those are the biggest ones. And it's only, you know, February of 2025. You never know what's going to happen in the next couple of months. Everything's always changing.
Yeah, I mean, they just released OpenAI's ChatGPT operator, which I think will just skip past ads for a lot of the part.
Oh, big time. Yeah. I used it to book me a scuba diving lesson for Nicole and me out in Hawaii. And literally, I said, go book this for me. And it just asked me a few questions. What are your weights? What size clothes? And like a couple of small little things. And it literally booked it. Oh, it asked my credit card information. And then it did everything. And I didn't have to go search. I had it literally, I just prompted it with like one paragraph and it booked everything.
Let me
the operator thing is crazy. Please.
I used it to make one of those chatbots that he was talking about.
No way.
Yeah. I was looking at making my own chat or making my own GPT. And I saw some options. It was like making chatbots, like making all these, and you just take the script and you just plug it into your website. So I was having operator make me the GPT.
That's fantastic.
So it was doing
for customer work service.
I was cutting myself out of the AI.
I love that.
I was having AI using AI. It was nuts.
Yeah, you got to show me how to do some of that stuff. But
oh yeah.
All right, so back to aviation on topic. some aviation and industry insights, and I know we're kind of running low on time, so I want to get through these last two questions real quick with you. But what are your thoughts on the current state of aviation industry, especially for general aviation businesses? Are you seeing trends go up or down from your perspective? I know from Stratus, we're seeing trends right now, and I'm curious on where they lie with you.
Honestly, for a majority of our schools, we're actually seeing a lot of traction. It's actually going up, number of student inquiries is going up. What I'm seeing, however, is the struggle of flight schools to maintain these leads. So we've had a few flight schools where, you know, we're getting good marketing, they're coming in, and they're having troubles with or challenges with operations now, like having enough planes to really fill their fleet. So for me, you know, overall, I think we're on the up and up. You know, I think there is more interest in it. There might be a small decline just recently due to the recent accidents incidents that happened, you know, Canada and Washington, D.C., all those things. So there's some type of fear mongering going on in the industry. But overall, I've seen a lot of people inquire and it's going up. I mean, normally I would expect, we did see a small decline around like November, December. I usually attribute that towards like the holidays, but it's picking up and I'm projecting that's going to continue to pick up until around July or so. And when July hits, usually that's you've already gotten the people that are interested in flying, and flight schools are just going to be really busy. So that's one aspect of, you know, the market, at least here in the States. What I'm also seeing, you know, is worldwide, I think we put ourselves in this bubble and we always look only internal to the U.S., but there's also a bigger demand happening in Asia. It's one of the bigger ones. So India and China is, you know, massively growing their population. Their domestic flights in China is increasing like year after year. And so there's going to be from a worldwide perspective, there's a lot of demand for pilots as well in the Chinese and international market. Kind of going back to the States here too. So, you know, we talk about the pilot shortage and all this stuff and how people want to become a pilot. But one of the challenges I'm also seeing is a shortage of mechanics, you know, a shortage of A&Ps and IAs. And I think we really need to help promote, you know, aviation, not just being a pilot or something like that. I think there's so many other roles in aviation that are important. And having a mechanic, having an A&P, having someone that can wrench on a plane is extremely important to keep us safe, you know, to keep everyone safe in the air.
The 10-year report actually says that we need more mechanics and more flight attendants than we need pilots. The flight attendant thing makes sense, obviously, but the more mechanics thing actually blew my mind, that we need just as many mechanics as we do pilots. And what's interesting about that, we did a pilot program. Haha. Yep. It was pun definitely intended. I'm a punny guy. What do I say? We did a pilot program on if we could fund these mechanics. And we noticed that most mechanics just have their own funding because it's low enough cost right now. And you can still make a great return on your education. You don't make as much as a pilot, obviously, but you can still make a phenomenal income long term. And it's not like you're wrenching on a car and getting all dirty all day. You're working in a lot of times a lot more sterile, clean environments. So it's a little bit different being an aircraft mechanic. Now, obviously, there's some airplanes you're going to work on and you're going to be filthy, dirty, like flight school airplanes and things like that. But generally, if you go to an airline, it's a fairly clean environment. So you'd be kind of surprised.
I think the hours, for the most part, are pretty normal. And I think it's rewarding too. Just the things that you're working on are
not normal at all. You're going to be working nights for the first 10 years of your career.
Yeah, you're talking about airlines. I'm talking like general aviation.
Oh, GA. Yeah. GA, it's normal. Yeah.
Yeah. But GA is pretty nice. Airlines is a, you know, yeah, we talked about that before.
No, but, I mean, I will say, so I was, you know, talk about the mechanic stuff and talk about how dirty or clean it is. You know, I used to work in food manufacturing. So this was like high speed operations and you'd have thousands of pieces per minute of, let's say, soda bottles or canned beef, whatever it is. Just letting you know, for if you're thinking about getting into, you know, mechanics, stuff like that, I highly encourage aviation maintenance and mechanics because it's way more cleaner. If you get into, you know, maintenance and you're working as a mechanic at a food factory, you're going to have oil all over you. You're sweating. You're in high, hot temperatures. So sometimes we have to work in ovens. I'd work with the mechanics to, you know, get the line back up and running. You know, they'd finish and their whole like outfit is wet, just with sweat and oil and dirt. And that's the reality of these mechanics. And they get paid a pretty penny. But I think also aviation, you get paid a pretty penny too if you're an A&P or an INA. You know, that's so just word out there. There's different. You know, I think mechanics in general is, you know, it's a very desired skill, and I think we have to, you know, give them as much praise and glory as they can because they keep us safe. But probably out of all the different like industries you can think about, you know, car mechanic, you know, working in the manufacturing and facilities, I'd say aviation maintenance is probably one of the most, you know, first off, I think it's prestigious a little bit in a way, and it's also clean. You know, it's relatively clean. Now, you might get a little oil on your hands and everything like that, but you're not going to be in a 120 degree baked oven trying to wrench on a conveyor belt. You know,
that's true. So the last thing we're going to do is coming something from your personal aviation perspective, and then we're going to end up with our closing thoughts. So, Carson, you want to shoot off this one?
Yeah, so I think it's a good place to land the plane.
Land the plane. Wind Thanks. It down.
You know, bringing it back to why you do this and why you love it. We like to just bring up our favorites. So, what's your favorite aviation memory or experience? And you know, I guess how's that impacted you?
I think my biggest or my most memorable aviation experience was when I soloed. I mean, I know it's really cliche, but I had
cliche for a reason.
I know it's so cliche, but I was kind of in that realm. Like after 40 hours, I'm like, hey, why? Like I think I soloed around 35 or so, but and I was like, at 40 hours, I was like, oh my god, like why am I not there? But I think when I soloed, I realized that like, hey, this is like. It's a process, you know. You have to follow it, and you have to trust your instructor. And just being in the air alone, without the instructor there, it just made me realize, like, hey, this is all up to me. Like, it's if we're landing this plane, it's because no one can help you. You gotta help yourself and do it, you know. So, for me, that was the most memorable experience. I also enjoy flying my family and my wife. So, you know, I got into aviation. Initially, it was actually kind of a job change thing. So I got my private when I was still working in the factory before Right Rudder Marketing ever existed. And I was thinking about becoming an airlines. But on the side, you know, I would fly my wife and, you know, we'd go to like Memphis, we'd go to Chicago and things like that. And it's been a treat, to be honest. It's been awesome to be able to have that freedom to fly. And that's one of the reasons why I love the, you know, aviation, because it's not just, you know, flying for the airlines. You know, there's so many more experiences you can have. You can save time. You can spend time with your family. It's such a great skill to have. And I like to bring. And one of the reasons I got into like, you know, doing marketing is that I want to bring this joy and passion of aviation to everyone else. You know, a lot of people. You were kind of mentioning this a couple minutes ago. It seems like it's kind of like aviation is this like kind of what do you call it? This obscure, hard to reach, you know, industry where only like the super qualified people can get in. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I think you need to be competent in order to be a pilot. You need to be smart and you need to have a good head on your shoulders. But at the same time, it's very accessible to most people. I think especially if you make the commitment to fly, you know, if you make the commitment to train, I think a lot of people kind of balk at like the $10,000, $20,000 price tag just for the private. But I mean, like, you'll spend the same amount for a Homer model or you know, you'll spend the same amount if you do boating or hunting. Like, you know, you'll buy another truck or something like that. Aviation is very approachable, and I think that's one of the things why I got into it and what I love sharing with everybody is that it's accessible and it unlocks so many doors for opportunity too. So kind of to answer your question, what brings me joy in aviation is really seeing you know, seeing my customers, my flight schools, be able to train more people, being able to get our word out of aviation and growing the aviation industry. It really makes me happy and makes me it gives me the reason to wake up every morning to do this.
Nice. Last question we've got for you today before we close it up. Where can people learn more about Right Rudder Marketing, connect with you? And do you have any final thoughts for everybody?
Yeah. Right Rudder Marketing, check it out. I think you just search online like Flight School Marketing or rightruddermarketing.com. You'll find us right away.
We better be able to find you.
Otherwise, we're not doing a good job, right? You know, I don't make too much of a pitch here because I think this should be more of a conversation. But, you know, if you are part of a flight school and you're looking to grow your flight school, The way we do a marketing is very similar that you're going to find with any other agency that you have there. There's a formula, right? But, you know, Rightrunner Marketing, you know, we're pilot owned and we know the aviation market, you're going to save a lot of time. So, you know, to reach us, find rightrunnermarketing.com. You can also, you know, give us a call, 314-804-1200. Send us an email, info@rightrunnermarketing.com, and get in contact with me or one of my team members. We'll work with you. We'll understand your flight school. I don't think every flight school is the same. I think everyone's unique in their own way. And we have to be able to, when you think about marketing and your branding, you have to really think about what makes you and your business unique, and how do you separate yourself from other people? How do you separate yourself from competition, whether that's, you know, other flight schools in their local area, or even, you know, the competition, in my opinion, is not other flight schools. It's actually other industries, like, you know, becoming a doctor, for example, or doing hunting and stuff like that, or getting to boating and all that stuff. So, yeah, you know, I'll leave with this. You know, we have a good track record, and I'm really proud of my team, and I'm also proud of all the people we work with, all the flight schools we have. And I'm really excited. You know, I invite you guys, if you're a flight school owner, listen to this, or part of a flight school, at least start a conversation. You know, start a conversation and see what we can do. See if we can help in any way.
Awesome. Well, Tim, thank you so much for being on with us. It was great to have you and get some of your insights, especially because aviation marketing, you know, aviation's already pretty niche. Aviation marketing's pretty niche, and I hear that all the time with aviation financing. They're like, wow, that's a really really small, you know, niche that you guys are in, and it's actually surprisingly large. You know, a lot of people are in aviation and flight schools, like Brand said, there's almost 2,000 in the U.S. alone. So
yeah, there's a conservative estimate. There's a $2 billion market for aviation flight training. And there's some other people that will say there's close to $4 billion. I think it's really closer to like 2.5 personally from all the data I've seen. But it's a very large market. And they say the riches are in the niches. And hence why we're in the flight training industry, Tim and us. So with that being said, thank you so much for listening to us today and joining us with Tim. If you'd like to reach out to either one of us, me or Carson, you reach us at brandon@aviationmentors.com or carson@aviationmentors.com. Don't forget to hit like, follow, and of course, streaming on any platform you're listening to us on or watching us on. Hopefully it's YouTube. It's a huge part of helping us grow the podcast and truly helping us grow the aviation community. And make sure you're joining us for Aero Summit March 21st through 23rd. We'll have the code to get you a discount right below, so make sure you check it out. We're looking forward to seeing you guys there.
And as a wrap up for the day, remember, here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See ya.